So for some of you, that may have brought back some memories. And when Debbie invited me and Chris to participate in this last Sunday of the Song and Story series, I was reluctant, but Chris reminded me of a song that I shared during a Sunday school class we had several years ago, called The Soundtrack of Our Faith. And during that class, I shared my take on Just As I Am. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, I don't know if I can do this. But as I started thinking about the hymn, it clearly fell into three parts for me. And as I've looked at this song throughout my life, it has played different important roles in my faith journey, and I'd like to share that with you today. So part one I've entitled Going Forward. The congregation was singing Just As I Am the Sunday morning I went forward at the age of 9 to make a profession of faith at Salem Avenue Baptist Church. I had learned the gospel story from years of Sunday school and hearing my father's messages from the pulpit at least twice a week. I knew that I was a sinner and that Jesus was waiting for me with open arms to accept and forgive me. If my childhood had a theme song, it was surely Just As I Am. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it too and can sing it from memory. Just As I Am was, at least back then, the most popular hymn in Baptist churches and no doubt many other denominations. Traditionally sung in slow, dirge-like fashion, the hymn was most often used as the altar call at the end of worship services. Just As I Am featured prominently in the revival crusades of Billy Graham and many other evangelists of the day. We Baptists knew that when Just As I Am was announced as the invitation hymn, we were most likely in for a long one. I never will forget one hot August night down on the Current River in southern Missouri. I was struggling mightily to survive a week as volunteer counselor at a very rustic church camp. As mosquitoes and various winged things floated in and out of the open-air chapel, I had to suppress a wail when the camp pastor urged us on our third time through the hymn. It seemed we would sing and sing it until Jesus himself returned to deliver us from the endless altar call. Well, a half century has passed since I was moved by Just As I Am to go forward, but the old hymn continues to hold a special place in my heart. It's simple, reassuring message has played no small part in shaping my Christian faith. The words move me still. Part two, coming out. 25 years after making that profession of faith at age 9, I had journeyed far, both geographically and spiritually, from where I was when I first learned to sing Just As I Am. My life was by then complicated with struggles to live as an independent woman. My childhood hopes and fears had given way to different dreams and disappointments. 1995 was a very important year for me. Having finally finished graduate school, I began a real job that offered the possibility of a career in communications. After a few years of distancing myself from all organized religion, I began attending a progressive, well, some would say radical, Baptist church. And I reclaimed the vital importance of my connection to a faith community. And I finally had the very difficult conversation with my parents, in which I confirmed what they had long suspected, but did not want to believe, that I am a lesbian. I found new strength in being honest with my church, my employer, and my family. It was a life-changing leap toward integrity and wholeness. In the midst of all this, for some reason, I felt compelled to look again at that old hymn. Surprisingly, the simple truth of those words seemed brand new to me. God accepts me just as I am. What an amazing thing that at age 34, having survived spiritual battles that I thought would surely be the death of me, I could still believe and sing a song that moved me as a child. At this point in my journey, I could hear Just As I Am set to new music, not a dragging, solemn tune, but a song of celebration. It was exciting and satisfying to give the hymn new life. I combined some of the original words with a brand new chorus to create a song celebrating God's love and acceptance of me, of all of us, without exception. After I agreed to share my story in the service today, I rediscovered an old cassette that had a recording of this song on it that I had made for friends back in 1995. And thanks to Stan and his AV skills, he was able to digitize it for me, and I'd like to share it with everyone now.
Just as I am, thou love unknown has broken.
I'm really glad I found a recording of this song because I thought I could probably practice it enough to play and sing it again, but it would not be nearly with as much an energy and enthusiasm. That was, after all, 25 years ago. So here we are in 2020. I've entitled this part three of my story, Letting Go. Those of you who have been at RMC over the past 3 years or so know something of my recent physical challenges. For a reason unknown even to medical experts, the functioning of my inner ear in both ears has deteriorated to the point where it is very difficult for me to keep my balance. Even the most mundane body movements, such as walking, can cause me to become dizzy. Whenever I leave the house, I walk with a cane to avoid falling. Everything is more difficult. I must move slowly and reserve time in my day for rest and recovery from dizziness and exhaustion. This is not the body I expected to have now, on the brink of 60 and looking forward to retirement. I've found myself on the periphery, feeling pretty useless, and worst of all, dependent on others in ways I had never anticipated. I'm no longer able to fully participate in many church activities. For example, I really wanted to help with the cleaning out of RMC items from the Hope Building back in July, but knew I would just have been in the way, not able to carry a single thing. Fortunately, I can still play the guitar to help accompany music in our worship services, but you may have noticed back when we were still meeting in person, that I had begun to stay seated while playing, just moving from my chair to the front of the worship space with the other musicians, and standing without support will make me dizzy. Dealing with these new physical limitations, I struggle to maintain a sense of self-worth. Recent days have been clouded by depression as I consider the purpose of my life lived from my recliner. A question often on my mind is, what is the point? After all, as our culture teaches, my value is inextricably bound to what I am able to do. Imagine my surprise when doing a little research in preparation for this talk, I discovered that Just As I Am was first published in the Invalid's Hymnbook in 1836. The Invalid's Hymnbook? That's one I'd never heard of. When I read more about the author, Charlotte Elliott, I felt a real kinship with this woman. Her need for reassurance that she was accepted by God, even in her weakness and frailty, speaks to my own need today. Charlotte was born in England in the late 18th century, and members of her family were prominent leaders in the Church of England. Charlotte is described as being weak and feeble in body throughout her life. A severe illness had left her a permanent invalid, though she possessed a vibrant imagination and a rich inner life. She loved poetry and music and was a prolific writer of verse. In her lifetime, she authored about 150 hymns, of which Just As I Am is the most well known. The circumstances around Charlotte's writing Just As I Am were recorded a few years after her death by one of her relatives. And the story goes like this. Charlotte's illness often caused her to feel a great uselessness in her life. As she watched her family and friends work diligently without rest to be of service to God. On this particular day, Charlotte's brother was organizing a huge bazaar to raise funds for opening a new school for the daughters of clergymen. Charlotte's home was buzzing with activity as all members of the community were occupied morning and night preparing for the event. The night before the bazaar, Charlotte could not sleep. Her mind was restless and filled with distressing thoughts of her uselessness, intensifying to the point where she questioned the worth of her whole life. The next day, the busy day of the bazaar, the worries of the night came back to her with such force that she felt they must be met and conquered by the grace of God. She took pen and paper from her bedside table, and she prayerfully began setting down in writing what she knew to be true about God's promise. So, in verse, for her own reassurance, she recollected the comforting gospel of pardon and peace. There, then, always, not at some past moment, but even now, she was accepted in the Beloved, just as I am. When Charlotte's sister-in-law came to visit later in the day, she read the poem and asked Charlotte for a copy. And so, these words of reassurance and comfort went out from that quiet room into the world. Since then, Just As I Am has been included in almost every hymnal published in English-speaking countries. It has been translated into every European language and into the languages of many distant lands. One historian has written that Just As I Am has touched more hearts and influenced more people for Christ than any other song ever written. Another has called it an amazing legacy for an invalid woman who suffered from depression and felt useless to God's service. My life has certainly been blessed by Charlotte Elliott's struggles and inspiration. The words of the hymn she wrote nearly two centuries ago has throughout my life reassured me of God's unfailing love and acceptance. As a child going forward to make a profession of faith, as a young woman coming out and seeking to live with integrity, and as I am right now, learning to let go and rest in God, just as I am.